O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, from the desire of being honored, of being praised, of being preferred to others, of being consulted, approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, of suffering rebukes, of being calumniated, of being forgotten, ridiculed, wronged, suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, that in the opinion of the world others may increase and I may decrease, that others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. I first came across the Litany of Humility in 2005, and I thought it would be a good prayer to pray every day for a week, and I set a time at morning and evening. I prayed it every day. At the end of the week, my boss called me into his office, my first job after college. I'd moved all the way across the country for it, and he fired me. And I'd been praying all week that others may be chosen, and I set aside, so I just kind of took it and walked out and said, well, I guess I asked for that. And needless to say, I didn't touch that prayer again for 10 years. But then when I was in seminary, for some reason, I decided, I'm going to do that again. I'm going to pray that prayer again and every day for a week, twice a day. And at the end of the week, I got called into the rector's office and actually got accused of something that did not happen. And I was punished and some of my rights and privileges were kind of taken away from me. And again, I said, man, I prayed for that. Well, I did it again shortly into my priesthood, and at the end of the time of praying it again, I got a call from the Archdiocese saying that I was being moved. And it was my first assignment. I was a young associate. I really liked my parish, and there was nothing that had gone wrong, but they just needed me to move to a different parish. And again, I had asked for it. Now, a wiser person would have just stopped praying it, but not being the wisest person, I said, you know what? I'm going to just keep praying it. I'm going to pray it every single day. I'm going to pray it every single day until I've mastered humility. And just a few months ago, I stopped praying because I mastered humility. So I just wanted to share that with you. But I kept praying it until I was no longer afraid to pray it, that I was no longer afraid to say those things that I was asking for. And our reading today has this beautiful distinction, say, between humility and humiliation. What's the difference between humility and humiliation? They both obviously come from the same root word, the Latin humus, which means dirt or earth, ground. But there's a vast difference. It's the difference between lying down on your back on a summer night looking at the stars and slipping on ice and falling flat on your backside. The posture is the same. How you got there is very, very different. And I think the Lord has some good words for us today and something to ponder. So let's kind of follow his line of thought here. Now, right before we picked up, Jesus is busy condemning all these various towns. He says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. If the mighty works that have been done, that were done in you, had been done in Sidon and Tyre, Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, and you think you're going to be raised up to the heavens? No, you're going to be thrown down to hell. And then this is where we pick up. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give you praise, Father. Well, that seems like a non sequitur if I ever heard one. But let's follow what's happening. So he's switching, but he's not changing the subject. And I think that's very important. Well, you think you'll be lifted up? No, you're going to be thrown down. And this word exclaimed here is actually better translated, he responded or he replied. We often hear that in the Pharisees said this and he responded. But this time he's responding to his father. Well, what did his father just said? Well, we don't know. But Jesus is always in dialogue with the Father. He's always communicating with the Father. And so he's responding to some private conversation that they've been having. And this is what he says. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. For although you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, you've revealed them to the little ones. What are these things? You've hidden these things from the wise and learned. What are these things? Well, he doesn't tell us. He's not telling us, but the Father knows. This is a conversation between him and the Father. Sometimes they're talking about these things. And he's gonna share them with us. But right now he's speaking out loud, not because he has to, but for our benefit. So he's speaking out loud. He wants to share these things. But he says they haven't been revealed to the wise and learned, those who are obsessed with their own grandeur, those who pile up the accolades of the world, the affirmations of others, who strive to be great and known and in a worldly successful sort of way. He hasn't revealed them to those people, but he's revealed them to the little ones. Now, the literal translation there in the Greek is infants, but the literal meaning of the word is those who cannot speak. You haven't revealed it to these great ones, the wise ones who like to spout off and make sure everybody knows how smart they are, but you've revealed it to the ones who can't even speak. All they can do is nurse at their mother's breast. All they can do is receive. That's the one you've revealed it to. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Notice the switch. Now he's talking to us again. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Everything that I have, I've received from the Father. There's nothing that Jesus has that he hasn't received from the Father. He's received his being from the Father. He's received his identity from the Father. He's received his mission from the Father. Everything he says and does, he's received from the Father. He goes on, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. And this is the part where we should be on the edge of our seat. It's like, what is he going to reveal? I want to be one of the ones that he's going to reveal it to. And Jesus, I'm getting there. I want to reveal to you. I want to reveal to you these things that me and my Father have been communicating about from all eternity. And then he says it. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. Well, who's that? Well, that's all of us. We're all laboring. We're all burdened. We're all weighed down by something. We're all trying to live up to something. He says, come to me. You come to me, and I will give you rest. Yeah, that's what we want, right? I want that rest. And the Lord's saying, only in me. Only, you can only find it in me, so come to me. The scripture seems to be referring to, at least tacitly, the Jews would have known Psalm 131, which is, my heart is not proud nor haughty my eyes. I've not gone after things too great nor marvels beyond me, but truly I've set my soul in silence and in peace, as a child has rest in his mother's arms. Even so, my soul. Yeah, that's what I want. I want something that little child has. But because of all the labors and burdens of this world, I can't seem to find it. How do I find it? Well, Jesus is about to tell us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. Well, we all have a yoke. We're all yoked by something. But what is it and to who is it and what is it for? Well, if we're yoked, if we take Jesus' yoke, a yoke is something that yokes two animals together. So I'm yoked with Jesus. That means it's Jesus who's right next to me. That means it's Jesus that is carrying this burden with me, or that I'm helping him with whatever his mission is, whatever we're doing, he's with me. We're all yoked to someone. Who do you want to be yoked to? Let's be yoked to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And here's the secret. This is what he's building up to. This is what he wants to get to. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Now, only one who's truly humble can say that they're humble. Only Jesus can say he's humble, because Jesus is God himself, and he laid aside his divinity. He lowered himself down to us. And that's true humility. And likewise, the Father, just as Jesus doesn't grasp onto his own divinity and say, no, I'm not going down there. You go down there. He lays it down. He comes down. But just like the Father doesn't hoard his divinity. He bestows it on the Son. And together they want to bestow it on us. This is true humility. And I think this word gentleness, also meekness, also translated gentleness, is also interesting. Because whenever you use a modifier like gentle, you're implicitly using it for something that you wouldn't ordinarily call gentle. Yet nobody ever said, hey, come look at my goldfish. He's a gentle goldfish. Well, yeah, all goldfish are gentle. We weren't worried about that. If you said, hey, come look at my Rottweiler, don't worry, he's a gentle Rottweiler. It's like, oh, good, yeah. Come look at my dinosaur, don't worry, he's a gentle dinosaur. Okay, it's unexpected. But if you say, oh, come look at the newborn kittens, they're gentle. Nobody says that. And so with Jesus, we should actually be surprised that he's saying, I'm gentle. Because it actually means we shouldn't expect that. And we shouldn't. Because in Jesus, in his very being, is all the power of the Godhead. All the power of the universe. He says, but I'm gentle. Think of like a wild stallion who's been tamed. And he's so gentle now that you can walk right up to him. Kids can pet him. A little child can ride on his back. But he's humble. So that means he's not walking around like, oh, I wonder what the other stallions are thinking of me. They probably think I'm a loser because I let little children ride on me. No, because he actually knows who he is. He actually knows that he's powerful. He knows that he's fast. He knows that he's a war horse. And because he knows that, he can be and do anything, even being gentle. And so Jesus too. He doesn't walk around thinking, oh, golly, I'm God, and everybody just thinks I'm a human being, and that's embarrassing. Jesus is humble, but he was never humiliated. He was never humiliated. Even when he's dying on the cross naked, and they're jeering at him and taunting at him and yelling at him, he's not humiliated, because he knows who he is. He's still receiving from the Father. Nothing else matters. You know, the opposite of humility is the vice of pride. And pride is necessarily a competitive vice. It's a comparative vice. It's not enough for the proud person to be smart. He needs to be smarter than the other guy in his class. It's not enough for him to be the best baseball player in the neighborhood. He needs to be the best baseball player in town. It's not enough for him to be holy. He needs to be holier than everybody else, and people need to notice his holiness. That's the insidiousness of pride. I'm always comparing myself to others and needing to one-up them and outdo them. A related vice is the vice of vanity, and this is a little bit different. It's actually not as insidious as pride, because whereas pride thinks too little of everybody else, vanity thinks too much of other people's opinion. And so I'm constantly living my life wondering and worrying about what other people are thinking about me. Well, if I make the sign of the cross before I pray at a restaurant, what will people think of me? If I do this, what will people think of me? Oh, they said this about me, and I'm feeling this. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. We think too much about what somebody else thinks of me. But when we have true humility, we don't have to worry about that. Because what we need, we've received from the Father. And that's the only opinion in our life that matters. And so in a real practical way, because I think many of us, maybe most of us, struggle with this from time to time. Somebody says something to us that maybe they shouldn't have. Maybe it was just downright mean. Maybe it was true. But we receive it and we say, ah, I'm discouraged. Why would they say that? Am I really that way? I'm not good enough. I can't do anything right. We get discouraged. We get depressed maybe. And it's in those moments that we do what Jesus says. We become the silent ones. And we retreat into the silence. Maybe it's the silence of the adoration chapel. Maybe it's the silence of our room. Maybe it's the silence of Scripture. We just come before the Father and we say, Father, how do you see me? What do you think of me? What's your opinion of me? And if we're quick to do that, then we can gradually overcome that vanity, overcome that pride of what other people think of me, wanting to be the wise and the learned ones. And we can receive, just like Jesus, everything we need from the Father. And then we find rest. Because if we're trying to live up to other people's expectations, we're never going to find rest, and we know that. We know that. So we got to learn how to receive it from the Father. I think one particular place that we do this in the Mass is right after we receive Holy Communion. And I actually love that moment where we just sit in silence, and sometimes we can, like, oh, we got it, it's time to leave, let's go. But right then, we've just received everything that the Father has to give us. Everything. Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and he wants to hand them all over to us. And in Holy Communion, we have. We've received everything. And so Jesus says, sit there in that silence and receive from him. And even pray that prayer, Father, how are you looking at me right now? What are you speaking to me right now? What's your opinion of me right now? And when we do this and we make this a habit in our life, then eventually these things on this prayer of the Litany of Humility, they're not scary anymore. We don't have to be worried about whether we're being esteemed or loved or extolled or honored or praised by other people, because we're receiving from the Father all the affirmation we need. We don't have to fear humiliation or being despised or suffering rebukes or being calumniated, because we're receiving everything we need from the Father. We know who we are in him, and that's all that matters. A few years back, I was on retreat, and I was praying with some of these themes in my own life, something that everyone struggles with from time to time. And this poem came to me, and I wrote it down, something that I just felt like was coming from the Lord. And I visit it many times. It's always a consolation for me, and I'll just end my homily with this. I am my Father's son, yes, through and through. That is a fact that can't be changed by death, ineptitude, or even great success. And due to this, I know what I should do. And just imagine if that were not true. My life would be a convoluted mess. The way to walk would be made by a guess. And who I am would every day be new. But as it stands, I walk a path that's planned. And hand in hand, my Father walks with me. He guides me through a strange and distant land. Sometimes he talks, sometimes he lets me be. Sometimes I close my eyes and squeeze his hand. I know just who I am. No need to see.